Welcome, Internet people, to the Heart of Christ Church here at St. John's in Jonestown, PA. Oh, man. And it's snowing outside. Everything's going to get a little white. Isn't that great? I like snow. Not a whole lot, but I like a little. I don't want to shovel it anymore. I want to roll the grandkids in it. Make snowmen with real arms and legs hanging out of them. The title of today's sermon, Ecclesia, which is a Greek word. Have you ever heard a pastor say that? Or somebody who's a theologian, they say that word, kind of rolls off. Ecclesia rolls off the tongue. Feels good when you say it. You know what? It means the orthodox description of the church of all believers in all ages, the universal church. The basic meaning of the word is meeting or gathering. I like the word gathering. What do you think of that word, gathering? That's what the church is. The sermon today is, what is the church? Is the church these four walls and some stained glass and the organ and there's pews? Is that the church? No, it's not the church. It's a facility. In the Western world, so to speak, probably since around the 15th century or so, people would say, hey, are you going down to the church? And over in Europe, it was huge cathedrals. Still a church. But we name places churches. We shouldn't be doing that. I mean, it makes it easier for people to find it. If you say, hey, excuse me. If you say, hey, I'm going to the west end of Jonestown, to St. John's Church. Everybody here at Jonestown would know what you're saying, right? But is this really the church? I call it a facility. It's beautiful. It is really a blessing to be here in this facility. It's warm. We have a pulpit. We have the pews. We have the people. I like the word gathering. The word gathering. Now, most of us here would know where the church came from. The church was born or created at Pentecost. After Jesus had arose from the dead, he spent 40 days with his disciples, and he was teaching them and talking to them and showing them his hands that he was truly alive. And before he ascended, they were all gathered, and he told them, go back to Jerusalem, don't do anything until the Helper comes. To the Helper I promised you, just wait, be patient. How patient are you? Are you patient people? Do you have patience? I see some faces. There's some faces out there, and it mostly the ladies that I see, they're like going, oh my goodness, patience. Patience for your children, patience for your grandchildren. I have a grandson that lives with me. He's 5 years old, 5 and a half. He's going to be six. He's going to be six soon. And he is a handful. I want to tell you, I'm 66 years old. He can run circles around me. He starts running, I got to sit down and take a breather just for a moment and then get up and try and chase him. He's not even breathing hard. But patience. Jesus said, be patient. And on that day in Pentecost, they were in prayer. They were together. They were gathered together in one place. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And tongues of flame were on their heads. And the church was born. The church was born, but what is the church? What is the church? We need to have a solid grasp of that. My first scripture I'm going to read today is found in Acts chapter 20. That's Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. This is Paul speaking to a church he was just about to leave. And you say, well, where was he going? He was going to Rome to testify before the Caesar, who claimed to be God. He was going to give his testimony to the ruler of the world, the Roman world. And in chapter 20, verse 28, we read, and he's talking to the congregation, the people in that church, the elders, the overseers. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You're a flock. He's describing a church. He's talking to those elders and those deacons and the leaders, and he said, take care of them. Be watchful. I want you to see that God, he purchased with his own blood. The church is not a creation of mankind. It's not a creation of a committee or a group. It didn't come about as a meeting. It came about as God created the church. He called people out. He put their Holy Spirit in them. And he created something that had not existed before. You're a new creation. Why don't you think about that? The older I get, the more I feel, oh man, do I need that new creation? Man, things hurt. Things creak. My grandson had his head on my tummy the other night. We were just kind of snuggling on the sofa, and my stomach was grumbling, and he was laughing. He said, Bumpo stomach's talking to me. I'm a Bumpo. You know what a Bumpo is? Most people are called Grandpa, Pawpaw, any number of names. I think I'm the only Bumpo in the world. Make fun of Columbo in front of your oldest granddaughter, and that's what happens. That's where I got the name. I was making fun of my wife. She was watching the old Columbo series, and I said, Amy, are you watching that Bumpo again? And Angeline, my oldest granddaughter, who was just a little girl, she went, oh, you're the Bumpo, and it stuck. It stuck. I'm still called Bumpo, and I'll take it. But I want you to think about that. We all carry names, don't we? We carry names. We're grandpa, we're husband, wife, we're all those sort of names. But I want you to think of something. God called you out of the world. He called each and every one of you. That's why you're here. You are the church. By the blood of Christ, you were purchased. Jesus laid down his life in order to ransom you from the grip of sin and spiritual death. The world was dying. Mankind was slipping away into hell. Permanent separation from God. And in the right time, Jesus came and he laid down his life. He took all our sins upon him and he paid them. He took the wrath of God the Father upon himself for you. He called us out. He gathered us into a gathering. The church. Do you know that you're called saints? Do you feel like a saint? My second reading is found in 1 Corinthians, just a little further back, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2. This is Paul speaking again, the great evangelist. Paul writing to the Corinthian church. In chapter 2, he says, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." If you call on the name of Jesus Christ to save you, guess what? You're a saint. I don't feel like a saint sometimes, but God says you're a saint. I look out into the congregation here. We got St. Chris and St. Greg, St. Carl, St. Amy, St. Lynn. Lynn, who's married to Pastor Rich, she has to be a saint. I know Rich. Right? You're saints. Do we act like saints? Now, don't lie. You're in church. No, we don't. But God calls us saints. That should spur you on to be more saintly. How can I be a saint? Follow the commandments of our Lord and Savior. Love God, love others, and go be a saint out in the community. Believe me, I know what a saint is. I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. And you really got to work hard to be a saint in Catholicism. There is a whole list of stuff that has to occur before the Pope says you're a saint. Well, the Pope's wrong, because I'm a saint. It says so right here in God's Word. It says we're saints. With all who in every place call on the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. They're Lord and ours. I call on Jesus every day. Help me. I'm a saint. Can you imagine how maybe your attitude would change if in your own mind you say, "Okay, Saint David, you got to deal with this situation. God calls me a saint. Would you like to be a saint?" I think so. If God calls you a saint, you are. That's part of being a church. It's full of saints. The ecclesia may be viewed from the standpoint of God's action toward and upon men. In this case, ecclesia becomes equivalent to those whom God has called, chosen, gathered, foreknew, justified, glorified, sanctified. In order to become a saint, God has to do it. You can't do it. You're going to fall down every time. Satan's going to trip you up. But Satan can't stop God when God says, "You are a saint." My next scripture is found in Romans. We're going to back up towards the front of the Bible, front of the New Testament. We're in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, as you're looking through your scriptures. Romans chapter 8. All the way back in the 29th verse. The 29th verse. Romans chapter 8, starting in the 29th through 31st verse, we read, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son." And all those words I read there, he foreknew you. God working, he foreknew you. He also predestined you to become conformed to the image of Christ. We're to be Christ-like. In our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, we're to emulate Christ. We're to love in truth. We're to love in truth. Nowadays, the word love just gets used all over the place. And I'm not even going to go into some of the meanings that our culture says love means, because that's not what it means. Verse 20, in the middle of verse 29, "so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." Who's he talking about there? He's talking about Jesus, his Son, the firstborn of many brethren. He calls you brothers and sisters. We were called into his family. Isn't that extraordinary? You now belong to God the Father. I was talking to someone before the service started, and she was saying how, you know, when you're a parent, you never stop being a parent. It just never happens. Your children get to the ripe old age of 39, and you're still a parent. I got a mom who's 86 with dementia, and she's still my parent. Now I have to go in and take care of her, try and keep her on the right path, make sure this gets done, that gets done, the proper medicines, all that. But she's my family. Through Christ Jesus, you're my family. We're all brothers and sisters in the church, in that gathering that God has called us to. "And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also," excuse me, "glorified." And I want you to take the 31st verse and I want you to really internalize that, okay? "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" God is for us. He has called you. He predestined you to be here. He conformed you to his Son. He's conforming to your Son. We're not all there yet. It's called progressive sanctification. What is happening is, through worship, through Bible study, through us coming together as the church, the body of Christ, we are being transformed. We're being made into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. We're being taught how to love, truly love. Truly love. If God has called us, who can be against us? I'll tell you who's against us. That's Satan. He's against us. He doesn't want any of this going on here. He despises when we come together, when we gather together to worship God. I would say it galls him. Makes him angry. You know what really gets him going? When you start praying. When you start worshiping God. When you start being the body of Christ, being the church, saying, no, no, you're not going to have your way with us. We have been sanctified by God, your creator. He's just a created thing. Very intelligent, very cunning, more so than us. But what do we have that he doesn't have? The Holy Spirit, God himself dwelling in us. That is how we become the church. Did you know that you're a stone? Do you know you're a stone? Have you ever been called, you're dumber than a box of rocks? Yeah. I've been called, you're dumber, or you're thicker than a lead brick. Because I didn't understand. Thicker than a lead brick? Lead bricks are pretty thick. But did you realize that you are stones? In 1 Peter chapter 2, going toward the back of the New Testament, 1 Peter, 1 Peter, I'm going to back up a little bit to verse 3. I'm going to read through verse 3 to 5. Starting in verse 3, we read, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, have you tasted the kindness of the Lord? Yes. Yes. I'm coming to him as to a living stone which had been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Jesus was a living stone that was rejected by men. In verse 5, we read, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What do you do with stones when you build something? Especially in Old Testament times. They built temples. They'd stack those stones up and he'd make some glorious looking thing. It was a temple. What God is doing now, and he has been doing since the time of Pentecost, is he is taking Christians as living stones filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's building a temple to dwell in. He dwells in you right now. You're living stones. You're part of his temple. It is an extraordinary thing to be the church. I am humbled to be called into a church. Into the gathering, not a building, but a gathering, a people, a group of people who want to come together and love each other. As a priest, you offer your body and all that you are as a sacrifice to God each and every day of your life. You are living stones in the spiritual temple of God. Each breath that you have is a gift from God. And that goes for every human being on this planet and for every animal. The breath of life is a gift from God. And some people are squandering it. They're throwing it away. They're saying no to God. Because God has also given us freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. But God has called you as a living stone into his presence. We are called one body in Christ. In Ephesians, we're going back towards the front a little more. Ephesians. I went a little too far. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in the 22nd verse, we read Ephesians chapter 1. In the 22nd verse, we read, "And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." How do we wrap our minds around that we are the body of Christ, the church? Well, Paul kind of explains it this way. Each of us is a part of that body. Christ is the head. Some of us are thumbs. Some of us are hands. Some of us are knees. Some of us are feet. Some of us are backs. Some of us are stomachs. And I got one. Oh, yeah. I got one. But if you were missing any of those parts, could you function fully as a body? And that's what he's trying to explain to us. We, as the body of Christ, need each other. We need each other. What do? As the body, we comfort each other. We hold each other. We cry for each other. We laugh with each other. We eat with each other. And the body is held together by the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you think about that? We are pulled together. We have that one thing that's common, okay? All of us are different, right? Is anybody else here a bumpo? I didn't think so. All right? Some of you are grandpas. Some of you are grandmas, nanas. Some of you are fathers, mothers. Some of you are electricians, plumbers, carpenters, auto mechanics, housewives, homemakers, secretaries, CEOs. I don't know. We're all different. But what pulls us together and solidifies us together and leads us and binds us is the Holy Spirit. And Christ is the head over all. I'm not the head of the church. I may be a pastor. I'm just a servant, just like you. And I was called to get up here with butterflies in my stomach and preach to you. God called me to do that. I want to tell you what. It was hard when I first started. I used to get butterflies. And I got pterodactyls. I'm serious. Before I preach, the night before I preach, I don't know how I get any rest. I woke up at midnight, and I couldn't go back to sleep till 4. I went back to sleep at 4, and then I got up at 7 to get a shower and get cleaned up, and so I don't look like a mess, right? My hair stands straight up. You don't want to look like that. Looks like I'm scared up here if your hair is standing straight up. But I am, because I'm handling the Word of God. I'm handling Jesus Christ. What did John say in chapter 1? The Holy Spirit dropped that into my mind right now. It's not even part of my sermon. John, in chapter 1 of his gospel, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it." That's what I'm handling here. I'm preaching to you from the Word of God. And I'm going to be held accountable for every word that I have said to you. The Lord Jesus is going to hold me accountable. And he called me to do it. And for the longest time, I didn't want to do it. And he kept at me, and he kept at me, and he said, you're going to do it. And finally I said, okay. And then doors started opening. And it's amazing when you truly look to see where the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, in the lives of this congregation, in the lives of this town, in the lives around the world, the things that I see happening, I'm amazed. And God is gracious enough to let me see them. I kind of got off a little bit there. I got to get back onto my sermon. As his body, we are to be working in this world, his feet delivering the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ crucified for lost sinners in this world. His hands that reach out to a hurting human race, his ears that listen to a crying world, his mouth that speaks, excuse me, biblical truth to a humanity that has been led astray by the flesh, the world, and the devil. As the body of Christ, we are to take up the truths that he has given us in his word, and we're to take them out into the world. That is our mandate. That is our job. Love God, love others, and go. Isn't it simple? Sounds simple to me. It is. It really is simple. It's just hard to get one foot in front of the other and actually get going, right? Don't be slow to act. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them what he has done in your life. You don't have to be some grand theologian with the head the size of a, not sure, but all that knowledge in there. Just tell them your story. Tell them a story. This is what God has done for me. I was hurting, and he sent this person into my life. Somebody else was hurting, and I stepped into their life. Give them your testimony. Talk to them. Kind of hit on my next point is, what is our purpose as the Church of Jesus Christ? And I've been building up to that, hitting on that. What is our purpose? Don't you like to have a purpose? Do you like just running willy-nilly through your life? Just, let's see. Tomorrow, what? I don't have nothing to do tomorrow, so I can sleep in to 1 in the afternoon. Maybe. We like to have a plan, don't we? We plan things. I know of people that are planning on installing electricity in their basement room for their mother and mother-in-law. Well, that's a plan, right? We're going to install some electric. We need receptacles, a ceiling fan, and we got to put in a breaker panel and that sort of thing. I was an electrician all my life, so I kind of look at things from the electrical standpoint, right? You have a plan. God has a plan for us. Love God, love others, and go. Go where? Go everywhere. Jonestown, Lickdale, Lebanon. As we come together and we pool our funds, we send missionaries around the world. They're going in our behalf, and we're helping them. Amen? Amen. We need to get that out there. In Matthew chapter 22, too far again. Matthew chapter 22, in the 36th verse, we read. In the 36th verse, we read, and this is a lawyer, all right? And he's talking to Jesus, and he asked him the question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" They were trying to trap him. What's the best commandment? Right? Thinking that if Jesus picks any one of these commandments, he's going to say, "What about these other commandments? What, you don't like them?" But listen to Jesus' answer. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest, foremost commandment." I'm going to stop there. That is what we do together as Christians, as the church, as the body, as the gathering, as the called out. We come here on a Sunday morning, and we come together to worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, bringing ourselves before our Creator, the Father, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, and our Sustainer, the Holy Spirit. We bring everything, right? You bring everything that you are. You bring all your hurts, all your joys, all your happinesses, and you bring them in here, and you present them before God. "Here I am, God. I've come to worship you. I've come to love you. I've come to give of my time to you. This day, this moment." That's what it means to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything that you are. It's not easy. My mind tends to wander. And probably the older I get, it'll wander even more. But what about those moments like this when you're focusing on God, when you're focusing on Him? Does He not revive you? Does He not fill your soul with something, that spark, that strength, that vitality, that peace, that calm? Last couple of weeks, the Lord has given me such a calmness in my heart. I want to tell you a quick story. I was entering at a church in Burnville. And to make the story not as long as I could make it, I'm a preacher, I pontificate, I talk. I'm almost as good as the Bolts brothers. Getting close. I'm almost as good as they are. I love Bob. I love Bob. I love Whitey. I love all the Bolts brothers. When you get them talking, it's an enjoyable time. Get a muffin. Get a hot cup of tea. Sit down. You're in for it. So I'm going to shorten everything up here. They called me to be the interim minister. When I first got there, they said, "Do you want to be the pastor?" I said, "No, Lord Jesus has not called me to be your pastor. I'm to help you look for one." So 1 year goes by. I had people come to me and say, "You need to be the pastor of this church." I'm like, "Huh? What?" Other pastors are telling me, "You need to be the pastor of this church." I'm like, "Okay, if I have pastors saying that to me," I started praying, "Lord, what would you have me do?" And then my wife came to me and said, "You need to be the pastor of this church." Then I went, "Lord, are you speaking through her to me?" So I started praying. And the Lord said, "Put in your paperwork." So I did. And I had told them when they're looking for a pastor, I said, "Look, you need to ask your questions in writing. And you need to have the prospective pastor answer them in writing. So you have a document that you can put away and say, well, this pastor we called, this is what he believes." So they asked me, he said, "David, are you going to give us a document?" I said, "Sure." I gave them a 57-page document, a doctrinal thesis, which my good friend Pastor Rich helped me with. 57 pages. It covered everything with scriptures. It took each member of the, it took them a month till the search committee got it read. Right? So I get one interview, and then everything kind of stopped. And I'm like, okay. So I'm preaching. And after a year goes by, I started praying, Lord, what would you have me do? And he went and told me this in my spirit, because I don't hear him audibly speak, but I do hear him speak in my spirit. He said, I want you to put in your 6-month resignation letter. I'm going to bless this congregation, and you can't be there. Now, some men would go, what do you mean I can't be there? I've been doing such a good job the whole time. No, that's not what you do. When you serve the Lord Jesus, when he tells you you're going to walk over here, you walk over there. So I said, okay, Lord, you're going to bless them? Good. Because that's what I've been praying for. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Help them to grow. They were down to like 27 people on a Sunday. Right? So I left June 16th of last year. The very next Sunday, the pastor that they eventually called came to the church with 140 people plus kids. Those 27 people went. Can you handle the blessing? Now, I had no idea he was going to do that, but 140 people into a small congregation like that? And I keep in touch with the pastor that they eventually called him, Pastor Phil. I pray for him. I've talked to him. He is growing. God's doing the growing. He's doing the leading through the power of the Holy Spirit and listening to the Lord Jesus. But they're being blessed. I need to land this plane. I'm only on page 2. Okay, let's clip now a little further. Because this got longer than I thought. But that's okay, right? And the next verse that we had in Matthew, Jesus said in 39th verse, he says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. Where do we get the go from? Well, we just got to go to the end of Matthew. In the 28th chapter, starting in the 18th verse, before Jesus was ascended into heaven, he's talking to his disciples. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. He's with us. His Holy Spirit binds us as a gathering. That's what a church is all about. It's not buildings. It's not location. It's us. Because I want you to think about it. The church has been marching through history for almost 2,000 years. And we're connected with each one of those people. They're not here on this earth anymore. They've been graduated into heaven. But we're still connected to them. They're still the church. We're the church. That's the connection. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Think of the people. Think of your ancestors that started this congregation 283 years ago. Are any of them here? No. They've passed away. God has taken them home. All right? But what they started in the power of the Holy Spirit is still here. I want you to think about something, okay? And you need to understand this. The seven churches in Revelation, okay? The Church of Philadelphia, the other churches, they no longer exist there. They're not there in that location they are originally at. But what happened? They grew as a congregation, and their people spread out, and they started churches in other places. They started worshiping in different locations, and the church grew. The church grows by us being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church I was serving at, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed fervently. And God said, okay, I'm going to bless you. Here's 140 people. Deal with it. Right? What a blessing for them. What a blessing for them. God will bless us. We just need to be fervent in our prayers. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand something. You have a choice. You can remain in the ecclesia, the gathering, or you can walk away. You do have a choice. For me, I'm remaining in the church. I'm remaining with you. I want to see you grow. I want to see you thrive. I want to see God pouring out his blessings upon you. And he's going to do it. It says so in his word. He will do it. We take him at his word and we move forward. We move forward as the body of Christ, as living stones being built up into a temple that God dwells in. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Allow him to move and strengthen you this day. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your Son, whose blood has purchased us from out of Satan's kingdom, and you have built a kingdom that is called the church, the ecclesia, the gathering of your people into locations where we work with each other. The church is a spiritual hospital. The world is beating up countless numbers of people, and they're going to come in here, and we're going to love them, and we're going to give them the truth because you have given us the truth. I thank you for all that you have done and are about to do. In Jesus' precious name, we pray, and all of God's people said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.